to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience pants. I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right. This is his first test.
Then one Iron Club crew sends the first guard through.
Try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to another episode of the What Are You Reading comic book show. This is your host, The Surfer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jordan Cobb, and we will be entertaining you for the next couple hours leading up to our pre-WWE show for Money in the Bank. So, let's not waste time. How are you, Jordan? Uh-oh. Did I lose Jordan? I think I lost him. Oh, no. Let's try this again. Let's see what happened. What happened? Jordan? Mr. Cobb? Corn on the cob? I hear something, but I don't hear you. I hear a lot of background noise. I heard typing. Now he's gone again. Oh, damn it. No! Damn you, Joker! What have you done? He's typing. He wants me to call him back now. Let's see. He needs to get his shit together. I'm telling you. I just don't know how much more I can put up with this unprofessionalism. Jordan Cobb, found him on the streets. He was a nobody, scrounging for scraps. I took him under my wing. I made him my ward. Taught him how to fight crime. And still, can't get the job done. Oh, Jordan. Oh, okay, now he's going to call me. Jordan?
Yes, hello.
I'm telling you, man. I'm ready to send you back out to the streets where I found you.
You didn't find me on any goddamn
I did
street.
Find you on the streets, and I taught you how to fight crime.
No, you didn't.
I did so.
That was my dad.
No. Your dad abandoned you.
No, he didn't.
I made sure y'all had a reunion as you got older. You don't remember. See, you try to block out the truth. But.
No, he just pulled up in our garage from golfing.
Well, happy Father's Day to him then.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day, everybody! Also, something sad happened. Anyway, hey! Father's Day. Ain't it great? Dads, stepdads, boyfriends, husbands, single moms. You're all awesome! Great. They love you.
So, did you get him Old Spice or did you get him High Karate?
What?
Did you get him a bottle of Old Spice or High Karate?
What the hell is High Karate?
You don't know about the High Karate?
What is... Oh, okay. Why else would I be asking you what the hell is High Karate?
It's a aftershave cologne.
Okay.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it for you.
That'd be great.
That used to be the, like getting Old Spice was considered like, damn, that's just like, this is sad. You know, you as a kid don't know any better. You just go by the commercials. So you get the Old Spice and they like smile and take it. And they don't never wear it. And then they'll wear it once because you. Okay.
What the hell is that?
Let's see, if I send you a commercial, can you watch it?
I'm on the iPad.
Okay, just listen.
Hey, how about a movie tonight, huh?
Wow, what's that aftershave you're wearing?
You high karate aftershave is so powerful, it drives women right out of their minds. That's why we have to put instructions on self-defense in every package. High karate, the brisk splash-on aftershave that smooths and soothes and cools. High karate, aftershave, cologne, and gift sets. High karate, be careful how you use it.
So when you got that high karate, man, that meant you really cared about your pop. So that's your problem, Jordan. You didn't grow up with high karate.
Really? That's my problem? Really?
You didn't know what it was. Anyway.
You know, I'm not gonna know everything. I know some things in the past. I'm not gonna know every goddamn thing.
Anyway, so one day when you're a father, you can get some high karate.
I do not plan on being a father, so
see, those are the famous last words of people who say they're never going to be fathers and end up having 10 kids.
Yeah, sure. Whatever delusional thing you need to know. By the way, shout out as well to all the fathers that work here at Rant AM Radio. You're all pretty damn cool. But yeah, no, I seriously have no plans on ever being a dad. And my girlfriend certainly doesn't have any plans on being a mom, so we are perfectly fine.
It's not always planned.
Yeah, but hey, guess what? You know, we are preventing that. We just don't feel like we'd be good parents. Honestly, I don't feel very fatherly. I'm fine being an uncle to my nephew, and that's it. I really have no plans on ever being a father. Okay.
Okay.
So
Jordan Cobb hates being a father.
Okay. Wow. Once again, you're just gonna put words in my mouth and accusatory. Again, personally, look. I've had one of those self-reflective moments where I just looked at myself and honestly thought, with what I want to do, with the type of life and career I want to have, I just don't think I would be a good father.
Yeah. Okay. There goes the Father's Day plans out the window, people. So we're going to talk comic books.
But yeah. Hey, happy Father's Day to you as well. Luke Cage, Reed Richards, Paul Kent, Jor-El, Thomas Wayne.
Don't forget Uncle Ben.
Yeah, Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben, you deserve some love too. You all done raised some mighty fine heroes. And I raise a glass to you. Hooray.
Who else is a good comic book father? Let's see. Well, Tony Stark would be one now. Let's see.
Bruce Wayne as like a father to Dick Grayson.
No, he's not Dick Drake. He's not a good father figure.
Let's be honest.
He puts kids in harm's way.
Yeah, Batman's not the best dad.
Not to mention all of his sidekicks eventually say, "I'm sick of you." And leave him, so...
Professor Xavier?
No, he's not the best father figure either, I mean...
Neither is Magneto, yeah.
Well, Magneto never claimed to be, I mean... He just gave up on his two kids, he's not even...
Sinestro?
He got Crumb Snatchers?
Yeah, Sinestro's got a daughter, yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Even though his daughter is a member of the Green Lantern Corps, while he is still heading up the... Sinestro. Okay, yeah, not a good dad as well. T'Chaka. Yeah, you raised T'Challa. Great job.
Yeah, okay.
That's all we got.
How can they join us?
Yeah, everybody. Listen, you can join the What Are You Reading comic book show in a couple ways. We love to have fun, and part of the fun here is that you get to join us. So, way number one, Skype. Add the contact SilverSurfer_forever. That is all lowercase to help out your search. Add us, then you can call us in on the show, talk whatever it is, as long as it's, you know, tangentially related to comic books. There is the Listen Live chat room with me, Surfer, and Stanley Kubrick, who, if you bring up one mention of your goddamn jars, I'm going to shove one up your ass. I swear I'm sick of hearing about them. And numerous others, such as Hacksaw Lou Reed at www.rantamrio.com/chatlisten-live. Hacksaw Lou Reed also just mentioned Commissioner Gordon. He is a good dad, too. Good on you, Jim. So, yes. It is also at www.rantamrio.com/chatlisten-live that you can listen to us live on the air as you're in the chat room. But if you can't listen to us live, no worries. Once this episode ends, we will be played on a loop with all the other previously aired, with all the previously live episodes on a loop all week. But if you can't listen to that, that's fine. I understand you want to listen on your own time, on any device you want. I'm busy. You're busy. We're all busy, 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 busy people. It's a hard world out there. So, there's Stitcher Internet Radio. There is Podbean. There's Blog Talk Radio, which you can find Rant EM Radio on. And there is the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant EM Radio in your podcasting section and subscribe. And while you are subscribing, rate us 5 stars. Leave a review. We would greatly appreciate it. And don't forget to go on by and like the What Are You Reading comic book? What Are You Reading comic book show Facebook page, where we update this, or we update it daily with news that will be discussed on the show. And we will interact with you, leave us a question or a comment on a link. Or just say hi. That's nice, isn't it? So yeah, there you go.
That was long, but thanks. I got some box office numbers for you.
All right, what's going on?
Well, number one this week, it's Finding Dory. Running $136 million. It is the highest opening animated feature ever. And the second highest June open behind the last Dinosaur movie came out last year. So it is the second biggest June opening at 136. That's a lot of money. And it is in first place. Is it doing well overseas yet? Only brought in $50 million overseas, so it's up to $186 million. But here, you know, America, they love their large fish, so
yes, they really did.
Yeah. Warcraft came in fifth place, brought in $6.5 million. Its 2-week total is only $37 million. It's kind of a failure because it's a budget of $160 million. Sixth place is X-Men Apocalypse, brought in $5.2 million. Its 4-week total is $146 million. Of course, its budget was $178 million. Now, both Warcraft and X-Men Apocalypse are doing pretty good overseas. Worldwide, it's up to $377 for Warcraft. And X-Men Apocalypse is $510 million. So none of these movies are doing too bad.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles came in seventh place after 3 weeks. $5.2 million. It's only up to $71 million. Its budget was $135. Its worldwide total is $142 million, so it's not too terrible. Captain America came in 10th place, $2.2 million. It's the first movie to make over the $400 million mark. And, of course, well over $1 billion worldwide, so Captain America, greatest movie in the world. And that's all I'm going to go as far as box office. The rest is just too low. It doesn't matter. It was not involving us.
Okay.
And We don't have no TV talk really this week except for
Preacher and Outcast. Preacher.
Well, I can't watch Outcast.
I know, because you're a scaredy cat.
Well, no, I don't have the channel for one.
Well, also, it's a horror show. I know you're not gonna watch it.
So you want to talk about it?
Well, I'll talk about it after we talk about Preacher episode 3, The Possibilities.
Okay, go right ahead.
Pretty meh episode of Preacher, actually. I thought all the goodwill that built up and was actually pretty interesting through the second episode felt a bit squandered here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Dominic Cooper's still a bit better now as Jesse, but when you got the likes of Joe Gilgun and as Cassidy and Ruth Negga as Tulip, he's gonna get constantly outshined. Also, what is the point of Jack Earl Haley's Quinn Cannon being here again?
You asking me or you?
Yeah. Well, you or anyone else that saw this episode, because
I don't know.
Yeah, it makes no sense. These brief appearances. I guess it's like, hey, let's just mysteriously build them up, but it's really just kind of really adding nothing. I'm still liking DeBlanc and Fiores, the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still liking their different take here, but yeah, again, I like seeing consequences of Jesse's use of the word from last week. The bus driver. And how he just made that comatose girl just wake up, open her eyes, and all that. But yeah, it's again, Ruth Negga's the more interesting part of this show, and I did like the flashback, even with a flashback wig for Dominic Cooper. But yeah, again, Tulip and Cassidy kind of steal the show here. It's okay. It's an okay episode, and it's starting to really worry me about this show, where they are kind of teasing the part about going on the road trip to try and find God,
mm-hmm.
who, as you know, if you read the comics, quits being God basically. But I'm just not too sure. It's not the best. I would say of these three episodes so far, it's the weakest, even weaker than the pilot. But yeah.
Okay.
What'd you find? Oh, by the way, I will say, I was intrigued by the tease of the Grail.
Especially
Air Star. Like that. If that man in white isn't Air Star, I don't know.
I didn't get a chance to watch this week's episode, so I feel bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't let it happen again.
Yeah, leaving all the work to me.
No, I mean, I watch it. But stuff happened this week, so.
All right, but again, they teased Air Star. If that isn't Air Star. That was that man in white. I don't know who the hell that is.
Man, Lucifer shows up in this, right?
No, Lucifer is mentioned, but Lucifer. Satan does not really show up in Preacher.
Okay, I'm just asking. Like, both the Lucifer and the Preacher, they're the same company, right?
Well, yeah. Preacher and Lucifer were both published by Vertigo, but they were entirely separate beasts.
Okay, they didn't cross over at all. Okay,
no, nothing about Neil Gaiman's Sandman ever crossed over with what Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Preacher, they just never cross paths at all. Like one thing at all, if it shares anything with a Vertigo book, Preacher shares with Constantine, because as we know, Garth Ennis enjoyed a very lengthy run on that book, the main John Constantine comic,
mm-hmm.
where he did bring up the idea of an angel and a demon having relations, like creating an offspring. And that's what Genesis is. If you've read the original Preacher comic and you're watching the show right now, Genesis, which is what's inhabiting Jesse, is the offspring of an angel and a demon having sex. and it had power that rivaled God himself, and so it was kept away. But now it's out, wanting to fix the world, purify it of all what's wrong and all that. And again, rivals God's power, because when you are told by Jesse with the word to go fuck yourself, you're gonna do that quite literally.
Okay.
So yeah, that's that. Outcast this week had its third episode as well. And it is also, again, more or less a bit of a adaptation of what happened in the comics, because from Lee Tergensen, guest starring as Blake Morrow, who is a cop who is inhabited by whatever's going around that possessed Joshua at the beginning of the show and possessed Kyle's mom and wife into killing his partner's mm-hmm. wife and an attempted exorcism to him, while Megan starts going around and sees an old familiar face as not very much not going to be welcomed to her, is around. Meanwhile, something with her husband checking out a crime scene. I'll say this is also kind of the weakest offering. The episode's called All Alone Now. It's also kind of the weakest offering that Outcast has. Coincidence, since it's both Preacher and Outcast for an episode. But actually, I'm still digging the hell out of Outcast. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying watching this a bit more than I am Preacher right now.
Okay.
Yeah, because the atmosphere that this show creates is actually very engaging and encapsulating. It just sucks you in. And the way it's shot, how it's used, and its great use of music and cinematography is absolutely fantastic. It's really good. It has a great consistent tone to it.
Now, how does it compare to quality on Walking Dead? You're talking about Hickman's show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not Hickman, yeah, Kirkman's, yeah.
Yeah, again, Outcast is based on the Image comic book by Robert Kirkman and Paul Azteca.
Right, okay.
Anyway.
So, how does the quality rank?
Right now, I feel like Walking Dead has a bit of an up on it since it's been on for much longer, honestly, I'm more impressed with Walking Dead a bit since it does have to move from location to location constantly, since they're not staying in one constant place, whereas Outcast is fully centered on this fictional town of York, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rome, West Virginia. York is where they shot it, anyway. Yeah, Outcast has a centralized location. It takes place in this one town. That's it. There you go. Whereas Walking Dead is sprawling. It's going all over the place, going from place to place. And honestly, I'm a bit more impressed with Walking Dead in that regard, since it creates incredible sets out of many places and can make each feel different. But I can't not knock the production on Outcast, since it's atmospheric. It's a bit more atmospheric to me than The Walking Dead, and how it really sucks you in, and you really do start to feel a lot of heavy character drama, especially with Patrick Fugit's performance as Kyle Barnes. It's very encapsulating.
Okay.
But yeah, I still the first episodes of both Preacher and Outcast are their weakest offerings
this comes on Sunday nights, right?
Outcast?
Yes.
No, Outcast airs Friday nights on Cinemax.
Oh, Friday nights, okay.
Yeah, it's on Friday nights.
Friday nights on Cinemax, okay.
Yeah. But again, while the third episodes of each respective show might be their weakest offering, they're actually, I would say Outcast actually comes out on top with it. Since it's got a good use of tension and an excellent use of a great actor in Lee Turgenson for a guest performance. He's absolutely one of my favorite actors ever since seeing him on HBO's Oz. Mm-hmm. He's been incredible, so that's TV for the week.
Alright, so I'll tell you what I did manage to watch this week.
Okay.
Wolf in Black.
I've not gone to that finale yet.
Well, you are out of luck, because I'm going to talk about it.
You know I don't care about spoilers, so go ahead.
Well, it was a season finale. It was a situation where the Neolutionists, run by Evie Cho, tried to make the move on the clones, because she believes that her technology of putting these little bug bots inside of babies is more viable than cloning and manipulating people that way. But she got screwed over by this is not the right time to be blanking on names. Who was the clone that was raised by Topside?
I believe that would be Rachel.
Rachel, yes.
Yeah, she screwed over Evie in the penultimate episode.
Right. So now she's screwing over everybody because she wants to take her place at the top of the...
Once again.
Yes. And she's screwing over her mother. Because her mother was... She was interested in starting up cloning again. And they convinced... I hate doing this.
Sarah?
No. The one that's dying all the time.
Cassima,
yeah. They convinced Cassima to talk to Sarah and to give up an egg. They took Sarah's egg and they combined it with a sperm cell from the castor clone. And they got a viable... a stem cell, so now they can start up cloning. And of course everybody feels betrayed because they thought they were just trying to find a cure. She's like, oh no, you knew this was on the table. But Rachel did some maneuvering and convinced the Neolutionists, hey, let's not fight over cloning versus bots, let's combine it. So she's like, yeah, I want to be in charge, and I will bring both technologies together. Cassima was on this little island of Dr. Moreau, they call it, where they thought she was in trouble. So Sarah went to go rescue her. And for some reason, Sarah got her ass kicked by Rachel. And... Cassima trying to escape from the island with the little girl clone that was living on the island. They came across the other people on this island, which they still haven't explained who they are, but they somehow it's connected to the Neolutionists, and they kind of hinted that the person who created the Neolutionists may still be alive after more than 100 years. So whoever this guy is, he's found a way to extend his life. And he's the guy behind the curtain pulling the strings. And, of course, it wouldn't be Orphan Black unless it ends with people in a situation where it looks like they can't get out of it. So Sarah's bleeding on the island because she got her ass kicked by Rachel. Cassima is captured by these new people that... been on this island this whole time. We don't know who they are, but I guess we'll find out who they are. To make matters worse, Ferdinand has Sarah's mother and daughter at gunpoint. None of that made any sense what I just said, but basically... next season, of course, we know will be the last season of Orphan Black, so
Yep, it was announced earlier this week that Orphan Black will be back for a fifth season with the usual order of 10 episodes, but it is indeed going to be its last.
So I guess we'll find, we'll meet the creator of the Neolutionists, because he's been pulling the strings the whole time. Some hidden god that's been alive for more than 100 plus years.
So what are your thoughts on the overall finale and season 4? Because I'll give my review next week.
No, next week we're moving on. No, I thought, you know, it always, look, Wolf and Black ends the way it usually do. It's always somebody in a situation, some people in a situation looks like they're not going to get out of it. And this season's no different. The only time that was last season when they ended with them hiding Kendall Malone out there in the ice up
ice
north.
Ones.
Yeah. Other than that, it seems like it's always everybody's left in a bad situation and only getting worse. Now, Rachel is about to meet the person who's been running the Illusionist this whole time, because she betrayed her mother and tried to kill her, and I don't think Rachel knows what she's getting her ass into. So it didn't make sense that Rachel was able to beat Sarah, because the girl could barely stand, she can barely walk, and she got the best of Sarah in a fight. So,
all right. So, like, what's an overall grade you'd give the season 4?
I give it a 7.5.
Okay.
The only thing about this season was we didn't get enough of what's the pregnant one?
Helena.
Helena, yes. But when she did do her thing, it was awesome. Like when she,
I loved Grizzly Helena from
when she rescued the Hendrix last week and put the arrow in that guy's neck.
That was badass.
Yeah, it was. Anyway.
Well, since you're talking about clones, Surfer, it's only fair that this be the transition into the big news about Spider-Man. We got plenty of Spider-Man news this week, like a lot. But we gotta start off with the fact that Spider-Man dead no more, its true title's been revealed. It's the clone conspiracy! Yes, people, Spider-Man's dealing with clones yet again.
You know, they're going back to that clone well, huh?
Jesus.
Well,
so, yeah, hold on.
They're one for one in the clone stories, aren't they?
Well, okay, let's debate that after I give out the details about this. Mm-hmm. All right, so Spider-Man Dead No More, the clone conspiracy, is set to kick off this fall in October, and will be a standalone 5-issue miniseries that will be written by Dan Slott, of course, you know it, and drawn by Jim Chung. The issues 16 through 18 of Amazing Spider-Man will lead up to the event, with Slott teasing some big primal things that will have a long-standing effect. Co-writer Christos Gage will also write a tie-in story that will take place during issues 19 through 23. Of Amazing Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man Annual Number 1 is a tie-in as well, and will feature cover art by Alex Ross that has been released this week. And hey, if you're thinking it's Spider-Man and clones, where's the Jackal? The Jackal's back. He will return in the clone conspiracy.
Well, the Jackal is always behind the clones, aren't he?
More or less. So, yes, there you go. Spider-Man's dealing with clones again. God damn it, why?
Well, like I said, they're one for one in the clone stories.
I've not really enjoyed any of the Spider-Man.
No, the original stuff. Clone story was considered to be good, right?
I mean, it was okay. Okay, I don't hate it like I do the Clone Saga, because the Clone Saga is shit. But even then, I just thought it was okay. I really didn't think that much of it. I mean, I actually really like Ben Reilly as a character.
Well, it comes down to if you trust Dan Slott or not.
Okay. I do like Dan Slott. Dan Slott's a really damn good writer. Just read his She-Hulk run. And
so he probably get,
Silver Surfer. And you know what? He's done a good job with Spider-Man.
If he got something in, he probably got something in mind that, you know.
I mean, yeah, I love Dan Slott, but the Clone Saga, we're going back to, I mean, okay, if you have a new way of revitalizing an old idea, I say go for it. But me, I'm going to be resident, you know, hesitant as hell, since, again, I'm not a Clone Saga fan. I thought that story was way too long, entirely too convoluted, and at the end, made no goddamn sense. At all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the original Clone story, it was fine, I admit. But it was just okay to me. But the Clone Saga, the one that persisted throughout so much of Spider-Man in the 1990s, that is utter shit to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jackal, I really dislike the Jackal as a character. I can't stand the Jackal.
I always thought the Jackal was supposed to be like a, like, they wanted to do, like, you know, a goblin. Like, the, you know, they wanted to do another Green Goblin, but, you know, came up with the Jackal instead.
Yeah, and it failed miserably. Again, every time the Jackal's on, was in a panel or on page, I just really couldn't stand the character. It was horribly written, and half the time, you really couldn't properly understand his motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. It was awful, awful storytelling. And I'm a little bit disappointed. We're going back to this well. But again, who the hell knows? I'll wait to hear about it, alright? Because I'm, alright, I'll wait to hear about this and see if it's worth my time.
Mm-hmm.
Since right now, the current Amazing Spider-Man book by Dan Slott is actually one of the best things going on at Marvel. Wow. That's actually a very entertaining book.
Did you answer the poll?
What poll?
About whether or not they should undo One More Day.
I did not. Wait, was that a thing? I didn't know that.
There's a poll on CBR where I think they may be, you know, like they may actually do it, like undo One More Day.
Okay. First off, you already know what my answer is. Yes. Secondly.
Yeah, I answer yes too.
Yeah, exactly.
I filled out the poll.
Who the hell is not going to say yes to, hey, do you want One More Day done? Who, if you say no, I want to check on you. Are you okay? Is there something wrong in your head?
Yeah, first of all, I want Spider-Man to get his wife back and his daughter.
Again, anyone who says Spider-Man can't be interesting because he's boring, Joe Quesada, you're wrong. All right? Marriage can make for good drama. And doesn't diminish a character or the story that's being told. Okay? It's stupid, alright? I would actually like, personally myself, to be, I would like there to be more married superheroes. Okay? Because, guess what? Not every relationship is going
to
be great.
Stanley wants to do, why undo Spider-Man One More Day? Because it should have never been, they should have never took away the marriage.
Okay, allow me to explain, Stanley, in the best damn way possible. It was character assassination of Spider-Man, okay? It was stupid, all right? Spider-Man, oh, by the way, I get to tie this into why I hate Civil War as well. Civil War, again, with the unmasking of Spider-Man, is such an out-of-character thing. Peter Parker would absolutely not do that because he cares about his loved ones.
Well, him unmasked himself during the Civil War. It led to a consequence, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, and of course Stanley said they made a pact with Mephisto to save a granny. All right, drop the stupid granny porn shtick right now. It's the most out of character thing for Spider-Man to ever do.
He got talked into it because he looked
up. I'm talking about One More Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't make the deal with Mephisto.
Yeah, Mary Jane did. But still, it's out of character for Mary Jane as well. It's out of character for both of them to even think it was a good idea that, Peter, I'll make everyone forget you're Spider-Man as long as you give me your marriage. One, what the hell does Mephisto want with Spider-Man's marriage? Why? Why?
Well, secondly, they're going to explain some of that pretty soon.
All right, I'll just finish up. But again, it just makes no sense. All right, it really added nothing. It was just a stupid way to retcon everything. So Joe Quesada gave that to the Spider-Man he loved to negate years and decades of character progression.
Okay,
and advancement.
We know.
That was bullshit.
We know.
All right, Stanley. I hope this got through. Oh, also, it makes no goddamn sense.
Okay. Okay.
Go, I'm done.
Alright, can you see everything on Skype?
Yes.
Okay. I'm waiting for you to talk.
Oh, well, I just finished up my whole thing about One More Day.
Okay, well, I'm waiting for you to tell me something else now.
Hey, Surfer, do you want to know who was killed at the end of The Walking Dead?
Why, who was it?
I know who it is. What the fuck?
Sorry, Jordan. We cannot reveal that information because
what?
I don't have the money to pay for any lawsuits or from AMC. So whatever information you have, you need to forget it.
Cease and desist?
Cease and desist.
Oh, man. Wait, doesn't Rand have a legal team?
Who? No.
Oh.
If it did have a legal team is not going to help us in a lawsuit. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I feel the pain of a certain Walking Dead spoiler group that this week what did itself receive a cease and desist from AMC Network, saying it since it may have the biggest TV spoiler right now. As it pertains to who was on the receiving end of Lucille and Negan at the end of the recent season of The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
the spoiling dead fans.
AMC is not playing that. And, of course, now they're claiming that they filmed multiple people being killed so that nobody will know.
Yeah, which is kind of a smart move, but... Yeah, but yeah, the spoiling dead fans. That's the name of the group, I presume, on Facebook. Nothing's being said here in the IGN article. But yeah, they seem to have.
Excuse me.
Apparently, the spoiling dead fans have a track record for accuracy when it comes to spoilers for the show. AMC did frame the lawsuit if the community reveals any information that they illegally acquired, including predictions of all things. So, yeah. So, moral of the story, don't fuck with AMC. Okay? They might still have Bryan Cranston on retainer to come out and make sure you don't do shit. Or... Giancarlo Esposito. Or Aaron Paul. Or pretty much anyone from Breaking Bad. Is what I'm getting at here.
Okay, Jordan. Now we'll clear that up. You're excited about Supergirl going to CW, right?
Oh, absolutely I am. I'm very excited. I think it'll be way better than it ever will on CBS.
One of the questions we've always wanted to know is Superman actually going to show up on this show?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they've always mentioned that he exists, and they cameoed him a couple of times.
They've acknowledged him.
Right, so. And then it was a question of whether or not he was going to actually show up, who was going to play him. And, you know, some people may have wished that maybe Tom Welling would put the costume
even
on.
Even though he also reveals he was never asked about it.
Right. But it turns out they've got their actor in Teen Wolf star Tyler Hoechlin. Is it Hoechlin?
Yes. Who I didn't recognize at first, but here's the thing. He was Tom Hanks' kid in Road to Perdition. as well.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that wins the mob. He was the main kid in
There's a lot of people on Teen Wolf get CW jobs, don't they?
Yeah, we got Colton Haynes from Teen Wolf, who played Roy Harper, a.k.a. Red Arrow, on Arrow. And Sin, who I can't remember the actress's name at the top of my head, but she was also from Teen Wolf. And also MTV's Scream, the series. But yes, Tyler Hoechlin has been casted as Superman, who will debut in the first two episodes of Supergirl's sophomore season when it airs this fall on the CW.
I think how he comes across will make or break this season.
I definitely agree. And Andrew Kreisberg was excited to share the news, saying Greg Berlanti and I have wanted to work with Tyler for ages. So this worked out perfectly because Tyler is Superman. We are so thrilled and humbled to add another amazing actor. The legacy of this iconic character. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you look at Tyler Hoechlin and compare and hold up a picture of Superman, he's kind of picture perfect, honestly. Like, up in the facial area, his face seems perfectly sculpted to play Superman, is what I'm getting
at. Let's see. If he comes across better than the movies.
Some people are
going to be very unhappy.
You know what would be great? I'll be happy if I can see Superman smile again, which would be great. Zack Snyder. You dick. But speaking of the movies, he was briefly rumored to actually be in the running for Batman or Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was rumored back then, although given the age they wanted Batman to be for the movie, I kind of doubt that, really. But
yeah,
who knows?
And I think that, you know, one of the things about casting Ben Affleck was he is more of a name, which I think they wanted to bring to the movie was somebody that had a name, not someone they had to build up. So
no, I very much agree. Ben Affleck was a better move, since I will still admit he's one of the better aspects of Dawn of Justice, and he really did get things going, and he really did get notice on the movie, be it the internet people were like, yeah, Ben Affleck's Batman, before the movie even started goddamn filming to the actual final product.
So
by the way, if your parents walk by or anyone you know walk by as you listen to me do that scream, you're welcome.
So, Jordan, did you get your ticket yet?
What ticket?
Your ticket for Batman and Killing Joke.
All right. The tickets are now on sale for the theatrical screenings.
It went on sale Friday.
Yeah, they went on sale Friday for Batman and Killing Joke. Once again, in theaters via Fathom Events for one night only, Monday, July 25th. At 7:30 and 10 p.m. local time at your theater.
Which is zip code?
71852. But again, you know the theater is, you know, the only nearby theater is an hour away from me.
Let's see.
I will continue on. Once again, Batman the Killing Joke. Monday, July 25th.
I see about four things on the map here.
Remember, the
Texarkana. Is that close to you?
Yes. What, Texarkana, Texas?
All right. Let's get you a ticket right now, then.
You're going to...
Okay.
Anyway, once again...
10:50
for
senior.
The theatrical screenings will come with a special introduction by the Joker himself, Mark Hamill. And again, it will be one night only, July 25th, 7:30 and 10 p.m. local time. You can get your tickets right now at fathomevents.com and see if your theater or any nearby location is participating in this. And I gotta say, I actually really like Phantom of the Menace.
You know what's going to be unique about this movie?
What?
This will be the most Mark Hamill has said in the theater in years.
Oh, shit. That is very much true. Very, very true.
And speaking of Batman, of course, Batman Day, year 3 is coming up. Come on, open up. Yes. Batman, every year now they have a Batman Day. It's on September 17th will be the yearly Batman Day. I don't know what that translates to as far as local celebrations, but
yeah,
check your comic book stores.
Please do. Speaking of Batman, you know E3 just happened.
Yes.
A lot of, you know, the biggest expo and convention of such for video games. We get a good look at what's already been announced, but get some big surprises, see what's coming for the consoles, PC, the portable gaming systems, all that for the good year. We got a couple of bits of news. First off, Batman Telltale game of Batman. That's going to be one of the hottest things this year. It definitely will be. If you don't think it is, you're a liar. Shut up. So, the start of E3 earlier in the week, details came out as to Batman the Telltale series, which is its official name. Troy Baker will be voicing Batman / Bruce Wayne, because, of course, he will be. The rest of the cast consists of Travis Willingham as Harvey Dent, Aaron Yvette as Vicky Vale, and Rittell as Alfred Pennyworth, Murphy Geyer as Lieutenant James Gordon, Richard McGonagall as Carmine Falcone, and Laura Bailey as Selina Kyle / Catwoman. Additional cast and characters will be announced as the season progresses, because as you know, it's a Telltale game, meaning it's episodic, you know, story. But also, stills came out, and they look pretty damn good. I've played some Telltale games. Man, these actually look really good. Like, the lighting, texture, all that. It's absolutely fantastic. And with Batman and the record that Telltale has, this seems like a guaranteed, like, hit, in all honesty.
Usually the Batman games are hits.
Well, they really weren't up until, like, the Arkham series.
The Arkham City wasn't hits?
The Arkham series. Oh. I said, that started with Asylum. I mean, let's face it, all Batman games by that point were kind of shit.
Nah, there were some good Batman games before this.
Okay, yes, some. I'll admit, the Batman Begins tie-in game was actually pretty damn decent. I really did like that. I beat it twice. But again, as a whole, there really wasn't that much offering in terms of shit, sheer scope and storytelling and memorable.
That's going to be on both consoles?
Yes, you will be able to play the Batman Telltale game via PS4, Xbox One, and Steam for PC and Mac.
What about the Wii U?
Not too sure about the Wii U. I doubt it.
Always Nintendo.
But speaking of Batman E3, it was also announced during Sony's presentation on Monday night, Batman Arkham VR is happening with a VR headset that's in the shape of the Batman cow, because, duh, how were you not expecting that? So all the Arkham games are going to be remastered for virtual reality exclusively for the PS4.
So you got to already have a PS4, didn't buy the VR set, which is another few hundred dollars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all this money people spend on video games, we could end world hunger if we would take some of that money and feed the world instead. But you selfish bastards. You wanna run around thinking you're Batman, so go right ahead.
All right, look. In fairness, this is the closest we can get to actually being Batman without breaking our own damn bones.
Okay. But, I'm not totally convinced with VR games yet. I mean, for years now, they've been talking about VR and make you believe that you're actually in the game. And, you know, back when VR first came out, I looked at that shit and was like, no. And I don't know how it is now. It could be a lot better, so... But I'm never going to believe that if I put on a headset, I'm going to believe I'm inside the game. So it may look good, but I'm not going to believe it. Anyway, Sony, selfish bastards. I want to play Spider-Man 2, but because I don't have a PlayStation 4, I can't play the new Spider-Man game.
Hey, transition. Yes, also during Sony's presentation at E3 this year, it was announced that a new Spider-Man game is happening, but it's not Beenox who have done the previous games. Insomniac Studios. Yes, Insomniac is doing a new Spider-Man game, and it will be exclusive to the PlayStation 4, and it's also been revealed it's not a one-off. They're hoping to make this a series.
Now, and, this is going to be based off the current comic book adult Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I was watching Sony's presentation.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday night with friends. I was, you know, having a few beers and whatnot. We were all chatting around saying like, "Oh, this looks good. I'm not sure about that, all that." But then I wasn't expecting Spider-Man at all. I just thought, oh, hey, a new Insomniac Studios game. I love Insomniac games. That's great. But then, yeah, the mind-blowing trailer came up, and it was awesome. It really feels so amazing, and I really need to buy a PS4 very soon. I just need money. But it looks incredible. There's even a new costume with a white Spider insignia front and back with some of the designs looking like it's inspired by the recent costume that we saw in Captain America Civil War. And, man, this absolutely looks amazing. Nothing more has been said. We can't pre-order it yet. I'm presuming this is they're still working on the game. I hope. But all we know is that, yes, this game's being co-produced by Insomniac Games and Marvel, and it'll be exclusive to the PlayStation 4. And Spider-Man was one of the biggest surprises at E3. Then again, Sony's conference always just like puts its dick on the table and be like, "Here you go," because it also gave Resident Evil 7, Crash Bandicoot remaster, and the new Hideo Kojima game, which looks confusing, but awesome.
Now, I can't say I've kept up with E3 this year.
But there is a new Zelda game, and that looks amazing.
Yeah. That's all Nintendo did was Zelda. They said, fuck everything else. We got a Zelda game, that's all we're giving you. That and Pokemon.
Well, nah. Well, speaking
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I haven't been quite as into Pokemon over the past few years.
The whole thing was just, we got Pokemon, but here's Zelda.
Well, Zelda is bread and butter for, Nintendo. And
that
also, also, bear in mind, you're speaking to a huge Legend of Zelda fan right now.
That is my game. That is my joint.
Legend of Zelda is amazing. It's one of the best gaming franchises.
Which Legend of Zelda?
What, are you asking what's my favorite game?
Yeah.
I gotta go Majora's Mask.
Come on now, that's not better than Ocarina of Time.
See, Ocarina of Time is so goddamn good, but Majora's Mask just...
Majora's Mask is not better than Ocarina of Time.
I will disagree with you on that. I will kindly disagree with you on that.
And then Wind Waker was pretty good, too.
Wind Waker is great. I also have.
And then, the Wii? That was pretty good too.
Yeah.
But come on now. Ocarina of Time changed gaming.
Ocarina, I'm not denying that. Ocarina of Time is a masterpiece in video gaming and storytelling in and of itself. It's amazing. From Majora's Mask, that is one of the absolute best gaming experiences I ever had. I was truly sucked in. I felt just so enraptured by the world. And it deepened the mythology of Zelda as well. I absolutely loved it.
You was a kid when it came out, and that's why you... I get it.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. Or maybe I replayed it as an adult as well, and still found Majora's Mask to be pretty amazing. Again, I'm not dissing Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time is incredible, but Majora's Mask is immediately what I think of when I think Legend of Zelda.
Did you ever play the one for what company?
GameCube?
No, not the GameCube.
3DS?
Not the 3DS. For Philips.
What was that one again?
Don't even worry about it. It was so terrible. It wasn't even funny.
Okay, then. But yeah, I mean,
you know, Philips had an interactive system.
Oh God, that. Oh shit. Oh God. Oh.
The
no.
system wasn't bad for some things, but that horrible
cutscenes. Oh God.
But that Zelda game. It was just thrown in there, and it wasn't really worked on properly.
It was terrible. That game is one of the many reasons why I drink. Oh God, the poorly animated cutscenes, the nonsensical story. Oh God.
All right, calm down. Calm it down.
All right, no, I'm good. I got a beer with me. It's good. But yeah, that's E3. I mean, hey, you know, Watch Dogs 2 is happening as well. New Quake game. That's fun. I mean, plus Sasha Banks is confirmed for WWE 2K17. Fun.
You said Sasha Banks?
Oh yeah, she's confirmed. Like there was a mural, painted mural at E3 that with the first three confirmed characters for 2K17. Goldberg, John Cena, The Boss, Sasha Banks.
The Boss.
Now, one can only hope that Bayley finally gets in there, or pretty much, you know, the NXT women as a whole. Because they kind of got the shaft last game. And that's bullshit. But, going back to Spider-Man, Surfer, we got two more people joining Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to soft sell you first because I know people want me to talk about the big one, but I'm going to start small. I'm going to give you a little sample, like a little taste. Silicon Valley's Martin Starr, who you may also know from Freaks and Geeks, and also a very small cameo in Marvel Studios' The Incredible Hulk, supposedly as Amadeus Cho. Okay, if you want to know what his scene is, he's the one that takes the pizza from Bruce to get into University Lab. There, go rewatch the movie. He is joining Spider-Man Homecoming. His role is not announced yet.
He's not playing Amadeus Cho again, right?
Doubtful.
Okay.
Since I think now they might actually want to cast an actual Korean person to play on this show.
Well, was the woman in the Avengers, that's his sister or his mother?
I really don't know. But the bigger casting news for Spider-Man Homecoming is that Donald Glover is joining.
Black Spider-Man, people.
Donald Glover,
Peter Parker. We got the Black Spider-Man coming in. He's going to take over.
Star of Community, and also The Martian, also known as rapper Childish Gambino, who may or may not be dropping a new album soon. Please do so. I would love it. And former writer of 30 Rock. See, Donald Glover is so talented. I'm sort of jealous. It's insane how good this man is. But yes, he's been casted for Spider-Man Homecoming. And his role is being kept secret because this is Marvel. They do not tell you anything unless they want you to know anything.
He's going to be the new Electro. Who's taking Jamie Foxx's place?
No, please don't. No, don't do it. Don't. I love you too much. So yes, the star of FX's upcoming Atlanta is joining. Now, if you remember back around 2011, 2012, rumors were going abound that Donald Glover would be cast as Spider-Man for what would be the upcoming Amazing Spider-Man movie. But as we all know, that went to Andrew Garfield. But there was such a loud support for him, like a vocal grassroots campaign. And Glover himself even embraced the movement and was actually very touched by the fans' words. They even mentioned it on Community. He woke up at the beginning of Season 2 in Spider-Man pajamas. But it didn't come to fruition. Again, Garfield took the role, but he did voice Miles Morales on Disney XD's Ultimate Spider-Man. But I'm going to lay some hard truth. I doubt he'll be playing Miles Morales because he's a bit too old to play Miles Morales really now. He's maybe back when he joined 30 Rock's writing staff at the age of 21 and this were a thing. Maybe. But now, I doubt it. I very much doubt it, since also it would mean a bigger contract and he is a bit focused on his music, and also, as mentioned, he has an FX show, Atlanta, coming up that is a passion project of his. Something he's been wanting to do for a long time. So, yeah, I sincerely doubt it. But I did hear theories going about he may play Robbie Robinson.
Yeah, some people are speculating that.
Yeah, which would be fine. That would actually be good. Oh, also, Glover's 32. He's not gonna convincingly play Miles Morales in live action. Also, Miles Morales may be the Spider-Man for Sony's standalone animated Spider-Man movie.
That's true.
Yeah. So, but again, him as Robert Robertson, that'd be fine. What do you think of this, Surfer?
I don't want to speculate on what he's going to play until we get close to the movie. Because I'm just going to wait for the surprise, you know, see if he plays somebody we know or somebody we don't know. Or somebody we wouldn't expect.
Another rumor going around is that he will play the Tinkerer.
I don't know about the Tinkerer. I mean, I know the Tinkerer, but...
You don't know if he'll play that role.
I mean, I don't know if I care about the Tinkerer.
It's a good character. It's fine.
They got some CW premiere dates and times.
Yes. For the fall. They do.
So, this fall, of course, when CW comes back with its full slate of DC shows.
Shit ton.
Yeah. Starting Tuesday, October 1st, will be The Flash at 8 p.m., followed by Wednesday, October 5th at 8 p.m. for Arrow. The following week, Supergirl will debut Monday, October 10th at 8 p.m., and Legends Tomorrow will debut Thursday, October 13th at 8 p.m. And, of course, iZombie is a mid-season replacement, so I'm not sure which of these shows it will replace, whether it be Legends of Tomorrow or Jane the Virgin or Vampire Diaries or Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Don't let it replace Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Do a doubleheader of iZombie and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and it'll be amazing. So also, please watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, people.
That means they would replace Vampire Diaries, then.
That's been on long enough. Whatever.
And even Supernatural is coming back for the 200th season.
Also announced, Gotham we'll be back on September 19th as well. Lucifer, which is that's a good show. That's a good show.
Yeah, like, so your favorite show will be back in UK.
Yeah, like, Lucifer. It'll be great. Gotham. Woo! What?
You know you love you some Gotham.
Yeah. Shut up. Stop it.
You know you love Gotham.
No, I don't.
Which is why you watch it.
Surfer, you're slowly becoming a reason why I drink. Stop it.
My work is done.
Stop it.
If I can drive somebody to drink, I've done my job.
Great.
I got some sad news for you. Anton Yelchin, who of course plays in the Star Trek movie Chekhov, has died today of a car accident.
Yeah.
He's 27.
Yeah, a freak accident happened to him earlier today.
And of course, Star Trek will be coming out in the next month or so.
Yeah.
And sad that somebody at such a young age passed away.
He's passed away at the age of 27. He had recently gotten great praise for his performance in the movie Green Room, which I've yet to see, but I hope to do soon. And he's also got another movie coming out, We Don't Belong Here, with Catherine Keener and Caitlin Dever. It really is a sad loss because Anton Yelchin to me was a really damn good actor. He was one of the best young and up and coming people, and even you know for such a young actor in bigger movies like something like Alpha Dog, he was able to hold his own against veterans and even some of the bigger younger talent like Ben Foster and Bruce Willis. And it's a the damn shame that he's passed away this soon. It sucks. We may have just lost one of the soon to be biggest actors ever. So rest in peace, Anton Yelchin. Our thoughts are thoughts with the family, all that. It's really sad that we lose such a great talent at such a young age. Just a damn dirty shame.
Yes, it is.
But we're gonna soldier on through, and since Surfer brought up DC Comics and the CW Network, it's only fair to bring up there's been some casting this week for two of its shows.
Okay.
First up, Arrow has casted Rick Gonzalez as Wild Dog.
It seems like we're seeing the effect of DC movies affecting DC TV. Because who is this character?
I'm glad you asked. Wild Dog is a vigilante character that debuted back in 1987 in his first four-issue miniseries. Wild Dog's real name is Jack Wheeler. He's a former Marine and an expert marksman and badass fighter. Backstory on him, he was a college football player, had a scholarship, got injured, went to the Marines. He saw most of his squad get killed by a terrorist bomb. He returned to Quad Cities. He started taking night classes, getting his college degree. Then he got a girlfriend. Here's the thing. His girlfriend was secretly the daughter of a Chicago crime boss and got killed in the middle of a hit, and that's what takes him on to his ways. He also has a pair of electrified shock gloves that can sit, to help in his... vigilanteing and all that. So, yeah. And he's being played by Rick Gonzalez. You may not know the name, but you definitely have seen him around. He's most known as Timo in Coach Carter. And Ben Gonzalez in Reaper. Which, by the way, is a CW show that is highly underrated.
the reason why I say what I said is because it seemed like they're going to be stuck bringing up characters that no one really knows or care about and obscure because they can't use the quality actors because the quality characters because of course they may be used in a DC movie and nobody wants to be confused. So of course we kill off Deadshot because Will Smith is playing Deadshot in the Suicide Squad movie. So we have to kill him off on the TV show. We have to kill off Amanda Waller on the TV show. Now we're just gonna have a bunch of characters that no one knows and D-list.
Well, here's the thing. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because there are characters that may have not gotten time of day.
Excuse me.
Towards getting their own full adaptation. So if they're brought in as part of this world, it's a good thing.
There's very few times you can take a low end character and make him, like, you know, work in a situation. Like, all right, Young Justice did it with Sportsmaster. They made Sportsmaster viable, huh?
They made him compelling.
Right, they made him viable, which he's not. But that, you know, that's not going to always happen. Just like a Civil War. The Winter Soldier made Batroc a character that was decent looking, but that's not always going to happen either. So we're just going to get a bunch of characters that no one cares or knows about, and who knows? Maybe they'll make it work. Maybe they won't. But
yeah. It will be curious to see how that goes. Now, the other bit of casting news is with Legends of Tomorrow, and it's another JSA member, it's Citizen Steel, who will be played by Nick Zano. Now, to give you Nick Zano's quick resume, he was a big favorite over at CW since he appeared on...
I never heard of Citizen Steel.
Yeah, well, I'll get to that. What I like about you, One Tree Hill, Seventh Heaven, but he's also made appearances on 90210, Happy Endings. He was also recently one of the lead characters in Fox's Minority Report, which, by the way, all served as a more statement that you should have kept Almost Human on the goddamn air. Fox, I'm looking at you. Jerks. But yes, he will be playing Citizen Steel. Now to educate Surfer and those that might not know who Citizen Steel is, he is a lineage character. He appeared during Geoff Johns' run on the Justice Society of America back in 2007. Now he comes from a lineage. His real name is Nathan Haywood. He is the grandson of Henry Haywood and the cousin of Henry Haywood III, who each were Commander Steel, a character that goes way back to the 1970s, 78 to be specific, and co-created by Jerry Conway, both first two versions. Now, Citizen Steel possesses superhuman strength, invulnerable organic metal skin, and superhuman speed.
Now, using these unknown characters for Legends of Tomorrow, I have no problem with that. But I think with Arrow and Flash, it's going to really hurt. That's hurt those shows. Anyway.
But, yeah. Nathan Haywood, he's a really good character. Take my word for it. Again, if you want to read JSA, pick up Geoff Johns' run. They're collecting like free omnibus collections. It's fantastic storytelling. It's great superheroism. I just absolutely love it. It's amazing. But yes, this is the only version of the character to be associated with the JSA, and thus, since they're teasing JSA with Jay Garrick having been revealed on The Flash, and Hourman appearing at the end of Legends of Tomorrow Season 1, it makes all the more sense that this that Citizen Steel would be brought in.
All right.
All right. Now, recently, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 has been filming. They've been hard at work on that sequel. Well, guess what? They're already done filming.
Yeah, that's going to be the big movie for next year.
Next summer.
Next summer, yes.
James Gunn went to Twitter to announce on a few days ago that, and that's a wrap on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Whew! So much gratitude to my wonderful cast and crew. Thank you all. And he seems to be in good spirits now before he has to go and do the very long slog and process of post-production. And speaking from experience, having done post-production, it is a bit of a damn process. So good luck to you, James. Hope it goes well.
You know, yeah, Guardians 2, it's going to be so anticipated, it's not even going to be funny at this point.
No,
it really cannot be less than what the first Guardians was.
Agreed. And speaking of Guardians, James Gunn even said he wants more female characters getting their own toys, i.e. Gamora, Nebula, all that.
Speaking of Guardians, you know, I play the Avengers Alliance on Facebook.
Yes, I'm aware.
And so they just started the new Spec Ops in a couple of days ago. And so the new characters is Mantis and
Elizabeth Debicki.
No.
Oh.
What is her name? I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue. Who is Drax's daughter again?
Actually, that's a very good question. I gotta look that up. That's something that's not on the top of my head.
Moondragon.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right.
So, these are the new characters you can add to your collection of heroes. I should have Moondragon by the end of tonight. I don't know. I mean, not Moondragon. Mantis. I don't know when Moondragon's going to be available. And they finally going to bring in Richard Rider, Nova.
Oh, awesome.
Now, they got the other Nova in the game.
Sam Alexander.
Yeah, I don't usually play with him, but
Sam Alexander?
Yeah. But maybe he might be worth teaming up with the Richard Rider Nova once he's added to the game. Cuz sometimes like the characters come out and they're not really viable. But then when the right character comes out to team them up with, they become viable. And that may be the case with Sam Alexander.
Yeah, plus it feels right to team up someone like Star-Lord, you know, with Richard Rider, since they had that endearing friendship throughout a lot of comics.
I will say that Mantis does work best with Rocket Raccoon.
Does it now?
Yeah, because see, Rocket, his one of his passes is if another character shoots off a gun, he'll follow up automatically. And if you get Rocket in the right situation where the other character follows up automatically, they could just, like, you could team Rocket with Spider-Man Noir, right?
Yeah.
And somebody will fight, what do you say?
No, go ahead.
And both of them have that passive where they'll just start shooting. So one will shoot off his gun, and the other will follow up, and then they'll just start following each other up. And the next thing you know, you're dead because you didn't get a chance to get off a shot of your character because the other teams, their two characters just mowed you down. It happens a lot in this game.
Really?
And same thing with Union Jack. If you team up Union Jack with Rocket, you can get yourself in a situation where they'll just keep shooting at you until you're dead. So, But it seemed like with men is that may be the case with that too. So,
huh?
Of course, you don't play the game because you're not a real hero.
Hey, it's been a long ass time since I played the game. All right, I got a lot going on around me. All right, I'm still getting through The Wire season 3. I got a job I'm trying to find. Trying to get some money.
A job, like that's important.
Okay, how else you want me to make money? You want me to start sucking dick around the corner? I've done that. Not that fun.
You heard it here first, people. I just say it.
Well, you know, Surfer.
Yes.
You like J. Michael Straczynski, right?
Yes, I think when he's on, he's on. When he's not on, he's not on. But
I very much agree.
Like, his Thor run, fan-fucking-tastic.
I very much agree
his
with
Superman
that.
His Superman run, suck balls.
God damn, did it ever. That was...
I'm still pissed. I'm still pissed that he brought Superman to Philadelphia, and Superman asked for a Philadelphia cheese sandwich.
Oh, but don't worry, Surfer.
I have never in my life ordered a Philadelphia cheese sandwich, and I live in Philadelphia. I eat these sandwiches all the time, and never called it a Philadelphia cheese sandwich because I live in Philadelphia.
All right, you're upset he didn't call it a cheesesteak.
That's what it is. It's not a Philadelphia cheesesteak. Not to mention there was other things about that episode, that issue that infuriated me.
Well, yeah, the issue, especially issue 701.
And he did write the first Thor movie.
Yeah, well, I guess he had a hand in the story.
No, he wrote the script.
Oh, well, fuck me then. But Surfer, don't worry. Your problems, you can move them over there. Over there, you don't have to worry about them. Well, if you're wondering what I'm referring to, I would say read Superman 701, but I'd also recommend you don't, since it's a shit book. It really is. Anyway, J. Michael Straczynski is in the news now because his book, Rising Stars, has been optioned by MGM for a film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the book was created with Top Cow, offshoot of Image. And the series ran from 1999 to 2005. And had a major delay in its last several issues over a potential film deal. Go figure. Rising Stars revolves around 113 children who were in utero when a mysterious meteor hit Illinois, which ultimately granted them unusual powers. When a few of them began to get murdered, their powers transferred to still living specials who are reluctant to get involved in superheroics. Now, it's said that Straczynski is set to write the script with Alex Gardner and Richard Suckle. That's his real name. Don't laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Of Atlas Entertainment to produce. Now, ultimately, I imagine he'll be balancing this along with the work on his Netflix series Sense8, which will be going into its second season pretty soon.
Oh, I guess he did write Spider-Man up until One More Day.
Yeah.
But he's not responsible for One More Day, people.
Yeah. Don't get it twisted. Even he seemed very adamant against that because he knew it was a stupid, stupid, stupid idea.
But hey, did you ever read Back in Black?
The storyline before that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I like that.
I'm talking about when Aunt May is shot.
Yeah, Of course I did.
He went to the prison to confront the Kingpin.
Yeah, of course I read it.
Beat the shit out of him, didn't he?
Beat the ever-loving hell out of him.
Oh, speaking of Kingpin. Yeah, I've almost caught up on all of Daredevil.
Oh, where are you?
I'm like two episodes to go. I kind of fell asleep while I was watching issue episode 12. But yeah, it was fucked up when Matt Murdock visited the Kingpin. The Kingpin beat the shit out of him. And they kind of dropped a hint because Kingpin's sitting there eating, and he realized that Matt Murdock got a lick on him, which usually most people do not do. And so now he's going to investigate Matt Murdock a little bit closer. But yeah, I should be done with the Daredevil and two more episodes. And I should have watched that thing months ago, but you know, life got in the way.
But you're doing good now, and yeah, life can get in the way. So that's why I haven't watched or read a few things. So some people need to get off my ass about watching or reading things. I'm just saying. But yeah,
you can't get out of watching Gotham. So
okay, well, you know what? I'm watching The Wire right now, so I can actually feel what a good cop show is. I can actually know what a good cop show is.
Okay.
By the way, Lester Freeland, best TV cop ever. Just saying.
We got some time to waste.
Yeah, we do. That's all the news we had. It's been a bit of a slow week.
I mean, we don't have to go exactly up to 7. I mean,
no, we don't. No, I know that. I know that. I was just letting the people know. I mean, listen, I just want to say I really do appreciate everything about the show. I appreciate your friendship, and I definitely appreciate all the listeners that we have that actually enjoy some of the bullshit that we do. It's honestly a lot of fun. I may not be getting paid, but this is kind of the best job I have right now. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
I just felt like being a bit sentimental. Whatever. I don't give a shit.
If you want to join us for the next 15, 20 minutes, people, you can join us on Skype at SilverSurfer_forever. Take your calls,
yes.
Talk a little comic books so we can
yes,
fill up.
Yes, Stanley, I do watch The Wire. I started it last year, but life got in the way. I've only now made my way through season 3. I watched the first 2 seasons, no problem, but again, once I went to 3, life got in my way. But I'm enjoying the hell out of
you know,
it.
Lee lives where The Wire comes from.
Oh, Baltimore?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. By the way, I will say, yes, I am now one of those people. The Wire is one of the best things that's ever happened.
You know, for this year's New York Comic Con, you had to register in order to buy your tickets. And apparently, everybody didn't get the memo because, like, the deadline for registering passed. And then they said, oh, we're going to open it up for another 24 hours. Because I guess it got to a point where, you know, not enough people registered so they could sell the tickets they usually sell. So I don't know what that's going to translate to, whether it's going to be a smaller show.
Did you already get your stuff for New York Comic Con?
No, but I don't know if I haven't looked properly in my email yet, or I usually give them some time before I'll write them and say, hey, I haven't gotten an email yet.
Okay, that's actually fair.
And if they turn me down, I'll just have to buy a ticket, I guess.
I'm hearing a lot of fun stuff out of Heroes Con this weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina.
There was a Hero Con this week?
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina.
I didn't know they had it this week. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah,
about.
No. A friend of mine went there. Mm-hmm. He owns a comic book shop, and so he just thought, "Fuck it, I'll just go." I may or may not have bribed him to maybe bring me back an exclusive Babs Tarr Batgirl shirt that she designed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it looks badass. Oh god, I gotta get that. I gotta start using my goddamn press badge, like my press credentials, to now get the cons. But I can't afford it. I can't afford the plane tickets or the hotel.
Yeah.
It's a goddamn bitch of a conundrum. Like, I really want to get out more. Like, maybe get some exclusive exclusive for the show?
Well, if I hit the lottery, then that'll be our job, is to go to cons.
I would very much appreciate that, because
I won't pay you in cash, but I'll pay your way into the con, so it'll work itself out.
You know, and that's fair. And that's fair. And I'll buy you a drink, and we'll call it even.
You forgot a news story. Common is starring in the RZA produced Black Samurai TV series.
I did not see that on the page nor anywhere.
Common will star as Robert Sands, an American GI who was shot while leaving Tokyo, only to be rescued by a mysterious Japanese man named Master Konami and trained in martial arts. After Konami is slaughtered, an eye-opening black samurai embarks on a mission of revenge, hunting down the people who killed his master. And the RZA, who thinks he's Asian sometimes, you know. Did you see the RZA in that last G.I. Joe movie? Did you see
that?
Oh man, that was terrible. He was supposed to be the blind master, and his accent and everything. Woo, bad. Almost racist. But anyway,
almost racist. I would say that's pretty racist. Pretty damn racist.
So what do you think about?
I mean, I wasn't aware they were trying to adapt Black Samurai for live action.
Well, everything gets adapted to live action at some point.
I mean, okay. Now I guess it comes to, did you see the Black Samurai anime?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched the cartoon.
Yeah, as did I.
But that wasn't a modern show. That was, you know, like he was that was back in the day. But this, I guess, this is supposed to be more of a modern version of him. We'll see how it turns out. You know, I don't know if anybody was clamoring for it, but you know, I guess the RZA got some pull, and so he's using it. So I don't know. You know, are you keeping up with Civil War too, by any chance?
No, you know I'm not.
I'm just asking.
No. Okay. Allow me to save you. Issue 3. No, I'm not keeping up. Issue 4. No, I'm not keeping up. And okay. So on. I'm not reading Civil War 2.
Well, it's selling. I think it's selling big time.
Of course it is. Of course. It's Bendis. It's a big event comic. And also it's named after the big Marvel movie right now. It's gonna sell.
It's been a long time since I've not read any crossover events from Marvel.
And you know what? I'm fine with that.
The last one I didn't read was, it wasn't AVX, but that other X-Men Avenger crossover they tried to do. And that's one of the things Marvel do wrong. They keep going to these crossover events over and over. We didn't need a Civil War 2.
No, we didn't. But Captain America Civil War is coming out. They need a big event for the summer. And so they thought, fuck it.
We'll come up with something new.
I agree. Because Civil War is a book that didn't warrant a sequel. And speaking of Civil War, you know, Greg Corona Jones. He actually messaged me and wanted to have a discussion about Civil War. Because he had picked up the book and he actually dug it, but wanted to know my specific reasons.
Did he want to call the show?
No. I'm just telling you, he actually engaged me in a discussion about Civil War as to why I didn't like it so much.
And so what was said?
Pretty much that, you know, it ruined the character of Tony Stark. It really meandered around. Didn't make that much sense towards the end. And lost a whole lot of focus as well. It was also sloppy as hell and terribly executed.
I want to try to get a copy of that Batman hardcover that came out. That's supposed to be a real good read.
Oh, which one?
The Joker, Dark Knight Joker story.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that's pretty good. But who does it again?
What do you mean, who does it?
Yeah, right.
Or who wrote it, you mean?
Yeah, and drew it.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Here we go. Where page? Here we go.
It's pretty much what I was meaning.
Excuse me. Well, people, in a few minutes, we're going to be starting the WWE.
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Money.
I think it's hosted by Rick Dar and co-hosted by Double A. So
it's going to be a pretty good show.
It's going to be fireworks because, you know, let me tell you something. They really want to kick each other's ass, but, you know, they don't want nobody to know. So I'm spoiling it, they said. Because Rick said, that Double A, I wish he would drop one of the A's in his name. And then Double A said, I wish Rick would make his name into initials so he would be cool like me. So that's their beef. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Is this mic on?
No, I'm right here. I had.
It should be. It's gonna be a good pay-per-view, pre-show and post-show.
Yeah.
As always, as only Rant EM Radio can do. I'll be on the call, of course, giving my expert opinion on wrestling, and I guess I'll be turning on my WWE network. And I'll give my opinions on who I think is going to win, even though they don't mean shit. So the Batman Rebirth, is it all that?
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Because that's the...
No, I had Tom King, David Finch,
Paul Dini wrote the Dark Knight, a true Batman hardcover.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, I haven't gone to any of the Rebirth stuff yet. Again, I've been pretty busy. I'm actually finding some time later this week to read all the current Rebirth stuff.
I didn't get to the bookstore this week because only one book that I usually read came out, so I just said I'll wait and pick it up.
What was that?
I think Squadron Supreme came out last week that I didn't pick up.
Okay.
Because I figured I don't want to travel all the way down there for one book. And
a lot more
is coming out this week, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Are you seeing Independence Day this weekend?
No, I don't care about Independence Day 2.
You know, they're not screening it here, so I have to wonder.
I guess
they'll screen it for the critics, but as far as the public, they're not.
They ain't doing shit.
Doesn't seem like it.
I get why there's an Independence Day 2. I don't care because I don't really like the first Independence Day.
I'm a big fan of Independence Day, but I do think 20 something years later, I don't know if I wanted to wait that long for a sequel. And then
the one Roland Emmerich movie, the one about America you should watch is White House Down, because that's amazing.
And then I do have some mixed feelings about the Independence Day, because I had a girlfriend at the time and we broke up after that movie.
Why?
Well, I usually don't get into my business online, but I took her and we came with some friends, and she kind of didn't show loyalty towards me. So
okay.
I'm like, I don't need to put up with this aggravation. And so I told her, you know, I don't think this is working out. And so that was the end of it.
All right. Well, I don't give a flying shit about Independence Day 2. So I'm not gonna see it.
Because no Will Smith?
No, it's not.
No Will Big Smith. Willie Smith. You know, Independence Day made Will Smith the big star that he is today.
I'm not denying that. It's because, again, I really didn't care for the first movie.
It was the biggest movie of all time when it came out.
I am also very aware of it. I was alive at that time. I'm very aware of that.
How old was you?
1996? Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm going to wager 6, but let's see. 1996. Not wait. Shit. Minus 19. Well, my birthday is next Monday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, I was 7. I was 7 at the time. Yeah, I was 7. Anyway.
Did you vote for Loki yet?
Oh, shit. I picked that book up, haven't gotten to it. Haven't voted for Loki yet.
Sadly. I didn't get it because I'm not sure what they're doing with Loki. I liked the way they were doing Loki before Secret War. But now they're making Loki into more of the villain that he normally is.
It's not gelling for you?
Well, it's not that he's not gelling with him. They haven't used him much other than the current Thor run, in which he betrayed his mother. He's working for his pappy, his real pappy, Laffy. And he's working for what's that guy's name? Crazy Elf. What is the dark elf, crazy dark elf name? He was in the last Thor movie. What is his name again?
You know, Tom Hiddleston.
No, the character from Thor, who's the dark elf.
Oh, Malachi.
Malachi, yeah, right. He's working for them. But the thing is, with this Loki, you don't know what he's really about because, like, he's honed lying to a point where it's funny, like when he first approached Laffy and Malachi, he walked up to some ice giants, and all he did was spoke to them, and they all dropped dead. Like whatever he said to them made them all just drop dead. So he's honed like lying to a science at this point. But I don't know if he's really working for the bad guys or he's, you know, secretly working for the good guys. You don't know where he's coming from. And they haven't made it clear yet. So, it you know, I don't have a problem with that. And the new Thor is supposed to be coming out this week. It looks like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to be going after the female Thor because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s a bunch of assholes.
Fun time.
Yeah.
Fun times all around.
I have to say that the new Avengers, not new Avengers, but the current regular Avengers book.
All new, all different Avengers?
Yeah. Nothing epic about it at all.
It's Mark White. How can it, doing the Avengers, how can it not be?
He's not writing an epic story. Like, I don't know.
Okay, I've only read the first couple issues.
I don't know what his end game is, but it's like, it's just mediocre, and sometimes it peaks a little good, but I'm not seeing the epic storytelling yet.
Again, bear in mind, I've only read the first couple issues, so.
And I don't know.
And I like them.
I don't know if it has to do with the fact that the Avengers is caught up in these crossover stories, like, right away. Like
they that just, may have something to do with it.
They just did an Avengers crossover. Now they're doing a Marvel crossover. And this has not been the strongest Avengers run I've read in a long time. So it's not terrible, but it's not epic.
I'll try to catch up. I've been catching up with Art Ops. That's the best goddamn thing Vertigo has right now.
Now, Iron Fist is coming out this week, so that'll be a fun read. It should be, you know.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Anyway, and I have to make a decision whether I want to stick with Nighthawk or not.
I haven't gotten to that yet.
I read the first issue, and it's I need to read a full story before I decide what I want to stick with him. Well, let me pay the bills because I'm.
All right, let's do it.
Don't hang up the CB radio that you're listening to here on your radio. Because following this show will be WWE Money in the Bank pre-show. And then at 11 p.m. following the pay-per-view will be the post-show. We'll go over all the happenings of what happened in the WWE. Then tomorrow night will be more talking about the pay-per-view. Because Talk Brunch will be live at 11:30. And then Tuesday will be the doubleheader of The Rant at 8 p.m. Followed by Freaks and Alpha Geeks with the returning lead champion. Who came, made his triumphant return last week. And, you know, the ratings went up on that show immediately. Thumbstick Ninjas every other Wednesday at 8 p.m. Every Thursday night at 9 will be Rant and Wrestling. And, of course, live every Friday at 9 p.m. is Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And then the Wrestling Call-In Show live Saturday nights at 11 p.m. What's this? That's you. Sorry. You just... Oh, no, that's not me. That's not you. That's who just sent me a message.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Okay, Oh, it's Stanley. And then we'll be back next Sunday at 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading Comic Show. And it's not this... I don't think this has been the best show we've done, but...
It's been a pretty good show.
It's been... I just feel like we just were substandard today. But next week, I plan on being more up to the snuff, hopefully. Then again, you never know what might go wrong during the week. But since it is Father's Day, let's go out with a Father's Day song.
I very much agree. Well, once again, here's to all you dads, stepdads, boyfriends, and single moms.
Mother fathers.
You're all awesome.
All the mother fathers.
Yes, agreed. You're all amazing. You're badass. All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to sign off and say good night, everybody.
All right, and next year, get something more than a tie or cologne. Okay, get something more worthwhile. Okay, so till next week, peace.
The Papa was a rolling star.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. Cause it was the day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him. Never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you. Tell me the truth.
Mama just hung her head and said, son,
Papa never worked a day in his life.
And Mama, man talk going around town saying that Papa had 2 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some stuff for preaching. Talk about saving souls and all the time meeting. Stealing in the name of the Lord.
yourself a jack of all trades. Tell me, is that what the papa to an early grave? Folks say papa would beg, borrow, steal to pay his bills.
Hey, mama. Folks say papa never was much on thinking. Spent most of his time chasing women and drinking.
Mama looked up with a keen eye and said, son,
I don't want no